Go to Acts chapter number 9 before we're going to get started, and then we're going to jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Tell you what, let me pray before we get started. Lord, we thank you, my heavenly Father, for this day. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the wonderful singing this morning, Lord. And God, I just thank you for the blessed hope that we have in you, Lord. And God, I ask that you just help us this morning, Lord. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit just have liberty and free course to accomplish the work that you'd have done today. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you just give us clarity of thought, Lord, that you just touch us, Father. God, I pray that you just let me be your mouthpiece this morning, Father, and accomplish the work that you'd have done. Lord, I know that without you we can do nothing. And God, we just beg of you, Father, that you please just grace us with your presence and help us this morning, Father, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Acts chapter number 9. Verse number 15 says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now in this chapter we've... Here in this chapter we've got the conversion of the Apostle Paul. He's been saved. We're not going to back up to read all this. He sees a bright light. He's converted, and he's blinded. And so they lead him to city of Damascus. And it's there that God tells his disciple Ananias to go talk to him, that he can receive his sight. And here's what God tells Ananias in verse 16, For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, God wasn't telling Ananias that Paul's going to do great works. He wasn't telling Ananias, hey, he's going to be one of the most successful missionaries, start multiple churches.
He didn't tell Ananias that, hey, I'm going to use this man to lead many people to the Lord. And all of those things were true. But here's what God said. I'm going to show him how he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Let me start reading verse 23. And we're going to see the suffering he went through. And let me read through this, then we'll back up. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, and stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, those which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Now, here we're seeing all the suffering he went through. He says 5 times he received 39 stripes. That is 195 lashes that were laid across his back. Now think about that. 3 times he said he was beaten with rods. He was stoned and left for dead. We could go back to Lystra where the Jews stoned him. They just left him laying outside the city. 3 times he suffered shipwreck. One of those is recorded there in Acts 27. The other, we don't know all the details, but he says it's 3 times. He spent a day and the night in the deep. And he just lived in peril. That word peril, it means danger. He was in peril or dangers of robbers. I mean, the roads they traveled back then were not as we have today. I mean, they weren't safe. It was dangerous. You could get attacked by robbers. You'd be left for dead. There's nobody there to cry out to. There's nobody to call for help. I mean, you're just at their mercy. Paul said he was in danger of his own countrymen. I mean, you would think him being a Jew, when he went somewhere, that the other Jews would kind of accept him, but they didn't. They hated him. Says he went perils of the heathen. The heathen, that's those unbelievers. Now you think about this, Paul would go into these cities and tell these heathen, hey, the God that you're worshiping is nothing more than stick of firewood. How do you think that would go over? He lived a life of danger. I mean, he was continually in dangerous situations. Think of the cities. He said he was apparelled in cities. Cities are notorious for crime and violence. And here's what we do. If we go in a city, here's the first thing we do. Here's what I tell Kelly. Hey, see where we need to stay out of. I mean, we're Googling. We're seeing, hey, right here, as long as you stay out of this. We went to Washington, D.C. Here's what I can tell you. Stay off the green line on the subway. That's what I know. You know how I know? Because that's what we found out. Paul didn't have that luxury. Paul would go into cities, and you know what he did? He said, I found myself some dangerous situations. Says he was in perils or dangers of the wilderness. He traveled, he's sleeping on the side of the road. There were no KOA campsites outside Jerusalem to stop at. I mean, he's dealing with the wild beasts. He's dealing with the elements, dealing with false brethren. Says perils of false brethren. There were men that would pretend to be believers for the sole purpose of tripping him up. He says he had to deal with weariness and painfulness. Paul got weary. Just like you and I, he has the same flesh, you and I do. And what do we do when we get tired? We want to quit. Paul just labored through. The pain. He says pain. Can you imagine what it must have felt like to lay down every night if you've had 190 stripes laid on your back? Paul lived a hard life. Talks about hunger, thirst, fastings, cold and nakedness. You imagine the great apostle Paul sitting on the side of the road somewhere, shivering one night because he has nowhere to go. And then he goes on, he says, the care of all the churches. It was a daily burden upon his heart what was happening to God's people. I mean, were they growing? Were they getting saved? Was the church prospering? All these things, they just wait upon him. And here's what I want you to see from all that this morning. With all the suffering, all the things that he had to go through, he never quit. Here's what I would say about the Apostle Paul. He was unstoppable. No matter what was faced in front of him, no matter what persecution, no matter what hardship he went through, he never quit. Here's a man with everything he had to deal with as far as suffering, started churches, led men to the Lord, wrote the majority of the New Testament. In spite of everything, he just didn't quit. And here's what kind of got my attention with all that. What's that say about us? What are we willing to endure for the cause of Christ? Would you continue to serve God and labor for Him if you had to deal with physical harm? I mean, if we were beaten, would you continue to labor? Here's the fact of it. We quit because we're scared of verbal abuse. Hey, we see somebody and we know they need the gospel. We know their life's a mess. We know they need to hear about Jesus. And we don't tell them because they look intimidating. If you're placed in a dangerous situation, what do you do? I mean, do we focus on sharing the gospel and trying to minister, or do we run for safety? Here's the fact of it. Most of God's people, if we even think we're in danger, we tuck tail and run for cover and think nothing about it. Will we continue to labor when our flesh gets weary like the Apostle Paul? We've all seen people that, and we've all been guilty of it ourselves. We get tired, and what do? You know what? I can't. I'm done. We quit. What if Paul would have quit? Have you ever just thought about that? What if the Apostle Paul would have just said, you know what? I'm done. All the suffering, everything, I'm just not dealing with it anymore. Wonder how many people would have missed out on heaven. How many people would be in hell today had Paul just said, you know what, I'm done, I quit. Here's my question I want to look at for a few minutes this morning. What did Paul have that we don't have? Obviously, from what we've read about him, he has something that God's people don't have today. I mean, we look for reasons to quit. He was unstoppable. No matter what came his way, he refused to quit. He refused to stop. And we look for reasons to be unfaithful. We look for reasons and excuses not to witness, tell others about Christ. Here's what I need. I need what he had. And the fact is, so do you. And that's, here's what I want to look at. What did he have that called, that put that drive in him that no matter what happened and came his way, he refused to quit? We need that. When we get to chapter 12, we're going to see some things that he had that you and I need to have. Number one, let me just read chapter 12. Verses. It says, expedient for me doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was called up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet myself will not, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Now, here's what Paul had. Paul had a vision. Here's what happened to Paul. Paul got to see the third heaven. We know the first heaven is where the sun, moon, and stars. Second heaven, or the first heaven's our atmosphere. Second heaven's the universe, sun, moon, stars. But the third heaven, that's where God's at. That's where the apostle Paul, that's what he saw. Here he's talking about now. When did it happen? We read it 14 years ago. 14 years ago, he got his eyes laid on something and he never lost sight of it. Here's why Paul was able to keep going. One of the things that made Paul unstoppable was he had a heavenly vision. You go back to Acts 14 when they stoned him and they left him outside the city for dead. What did he do? He got up and he went right back in. What in the world would cause a man to get up, knowing they just killed you, they're going to do it again? Why would he go back? He didn't care. Hey, what he had his eyes on the other side, it didn't matter what happened to him in this walk of life. He saw what was waiting on him. Paul was unstoppable because here's why. He was focused on heaven. That's what his life was focused on. Here's where most of God's people are at. We're focused on temporary things. We're focused on things in the scheme of eternity. They mean nothing. I mean, we worry about new cars and new houses, and we want this and we want that and we want the best of this. What's it matter? You can't take it with you. I mean, you're laboring for something you're going to leave here behind. We worry about our retirement. I told somebody the other day, I'm looking for the rapture. I'm not looking for retirement. Man, I'm looking for the Lord to come back. I'm not worried about laboring for down here. I'm looking for God to come get me. We sit around, we worry about what we can do to increase our bank accounts. Here's all I'm saying. We spend our time and our mindset is on what? Temporary things that have no eternal value. In view of eternity, what's it matter? Do you think when we get to heaven, anybody's going to say, man, I had a pretty good nest egg back there on earth? No. Do you think anybody's going to say, man, that's a nice mansion I got, but hey, I had a pretty nice house back there on earth before it's burned up? No, by all those things that we've put emphasis on in this walk of life, they have no merit. They're meaningless. And what happens to us, we get so focused on temporary things, we lose sight of that heavenly vision, what we have to think upon. When I was a kid, this will shock some of y'all, back before internet days, when I was a kid and we would go on vacation, y'all remember you get that little brochure, had the hotel on it, had pictures of the swimming pool and all this stuff. When I was a kid, I'd get that brochure and here's what I'd do. If I knew we were going, I'd look at that thing. And I'd just think, man, that's going to be so fun in that pool. Man, I can't wait to get to our, look how nice that room is. Mom, can I have the bed next to the window? I mean, that's all you did every day. You know you're going on vacation and you looked at that thing and you got excited over it, thinking about what was going on. Do you know we should be doing the same thing every day of our lives? You know what? We have a better home. We have a home to go to. Should we not be sitting around in our mindset, be on heaven and not the temporary things this earth? Do you realize that one day you are going to lay your eyes upon the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The one that no man can look upon, you know what? You're going to get to. Hey, he told Moses, all you can do, you can look at my backside as I walk away from you. That's all you're going to be able to see. Not me. Hey, I'm going to get to look upon him face to face. You imagine watching him be crowned king and take his throne. And there's little old nothing me right there getting to behold the greatest thing that'll ever take place in the universe. Man, reunited with my loved ones. Man, there's not one person in here that does not have somebody that's outstripped to still walk alive. But you know what? I'm going to see them again. Hey, they may have left for love. But you know what? I will lay my eyes upon them again and fellowship with them. Man, that's the future I have. Do you realize I have nothing by the world's standards in this walk of life? I've got an inheritance. The God that owns it all says, hey, I've got something reserved in heaven for you. Nobody can have it but you. Man, what is it? Man, what could it possibly be? My mind can't even fathom it. Do you realize that one day we're never going to have to endure pain? There's come today. I'm never going to have to deal with the failures of my sinful flesh. I'm going to be victorious. That's the future that awaits me. I'm going to get to experience the joy of the Lord throughout all eternity. That is what my mind should be on every day. Not upon the fact that, you know, hey, if I can take this paycheck and I can buy this and we'll save and we'll have this and do this. No. My mind, the Apostle Paul, he's unstoppable. Why? Because his mind is on eternal things. What is waiting him on the other side? He's not worried about suffering. He's not worried about losing his life. Why? Because he knows what awaits him. I said it before, death is just the next step of the journey. That's all it is. For the child of God, and he is in the right fellowship and relationship with God, there's a better day coming. And we can look toward that with joy. He had his eyes fixed on eternal things. And if we're going to be unstoppable like Paul, here's one of the things we got to do. We got to get our eyes off of temporary things. We got to get our eyes on eternal things. We got to get our eyes upon heavenly things. That's what the Apostle Paul was doing. Listen, we can't ever lose sight of the fact that we're citizens of another country. We are pilgrims and we're strangers. And we don't act like it, but that's who we are. That's who we're supposed to be. Paul is unstoppable because he has the right vision. But then look also, verse number 7. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. We're seeing Paul's mindset right here. Paul has a thorn in the flesh. A lot of people, most people think it has something to do with his eyesight. The Scripture doesn't say. But when Paul asked God to remove it, here's what he told him. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And here's what Paul said. I just rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here's what Paul knows. God will give him strength to get through every trial. And through those trials, here's what's going to happen. God's going to be honored and glorified. Paul's mindset is God will help me get through this suffering, the hardships I'm going through, and it's going to give witness to others of the grace of God and His power that's working in my life. Paul's unstoppable because he has the right mindset. He knew that God is going to be honored through his suffering. Paul saw through these painful experiences that he's going through, here's what Paul saw, a way that God could be honored and glorified through his life. The things that would deter us, that would stop us, Paul said, you know what? God can get glory from this. God can get honored through this. They weren't pleasant to endure. It wasn't something that Paul chose for his life. But he didn't use them as an excuse to stop serving God. When trouble and persecutions and hardships, all these things come in our life, we got to have the mindset that through this somehow, God is going to be honored. If we will refuse to quit, somehow God will get honored through this. And there's a lot of times it has to be done through faith. I mean, I told you before, imagine Paul sitting on the side of the road shivering because he's cold. Man, it's hard to see how God will get glory out of that and be honored through it, but somehow he will, I promise you. Have we not all seen hardship and trials come upon somebody's life and they turn from God? I mean, trouble comes, the persecution, and they just leave the church. And instead of God taking that and God helping them through it and God getting glorified and honored through it, they bring a mockery upon the things of God. Drake, when I was thinking on this, here's where my mind went. I don't know of very few families that probably have to endure in the past year what you've had to endure. There are people that have had some that have had to endure what y'all went through, and they've got out of church. Here we are a year later. You know what we're seeing? That family's still sitting on church pew. Why? You know what they'll tell you? It's the grace of God. I look at them, and you know what I see? I just have to give God the glory for the grace that he's given them. You know what? Through that, here's what's happened. God is glorified. God is honored. Man, I think, Brother Junior, you buried two kids. You know what? Where's he at? He's still sitting faithfully in the house of God. Why? The grace of God. That's it. Brother Mike, there's Katie. All that she's been going through, and I don't know if her, just a little, the blessing, the financial blessing she got, you know what that did? What she's going through just gave an opportunity for God just to show his grace and get honored through it. My, there's Sister Nancy. They mentioned this, so sitting back there. For years, Sister Nancy, you talked about the hardships with your family. Everything. Here we are today, and where they at? Sitting on a pew with you. See, here's what happened. Here's what Paul knew that we can't seem to grasp. All these trials and these hardships that we go through, God can get glory and honor from it if we do. We have to do one thing, though. We can't quit. We can't quit. When we just dig in and we stay with God, God gets glorified from it. Paul is enduring suffering that I don't know anybody that could go through what he went through. But here's why he's not quitting. This is why he's unstoppable. He knows that God is going to be honored and glorified through it. He wants God to be honored through his life. And if it means going through hardships and persecutions that God is glorified through it, you know what he's saying? I'll do it. And I'll do it gladly. We can't quit. When hardships come in our life, here's what we have a tendency to do when it comes to serving God. The first little bump in the road, what do? We want to quit. The first trial, the first suffering, all these things, we just want to quit. Paul's not. Why? Because he has the right mindset. He knows that God, some way, God is going to be honored through helping him get through this. And he'll be glorified through it. That's all Paul cares about. Whatever he has to go through, if God is honored through it, then he's willing to do it. Paul is unstoppable. He has the right vision. He's got a heavenly vision. He's got the right mindset. He wants God to be honored and glorified. But then he has the right motive. Look at chapter 2, verse number 15. It says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Here's a man, he's sacrificing his life for others. Why? Because he loves them. He wasn't out there trying to build a following. I mean, he tells, the more I love, the more I do, the less I'm appreciated. I mean, that's what he says. Notice, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He wasn't doing it trying to impress the brethren. Paul genuinely loved them. His motive for everything he did, it was love. And we understand that if our love's going to be right toward the brethren, it has to be right toward the Savior. Let me ask you this. What would you be willing to do to help your children? Let me just look at it this way. Would you be willing to sacrifice your life for theirs? I mean, is it not once you become a parent, here's what I learned. My life was no longer about what I wanted to do. It's about what was helping them. Amen. Hey, I could work like a dog all weekend, be tired, but when Saturday came around, you know what? Hey, guys, what do you guys want to do today? I can tell you what I want to do. I want to sit on the couch. But because of my love for them, here's what I'm doing. I'm sacrificing for them. Do you always feel like your love is reciprocated from your children? Hey, do you know why we have to rebuke and discipline our children? We do it because we love them. I'm not doing it to be mean. I've never had one of my children, after I get done disciplining, say, "Hey, appreciate you, Dad, love you." No, they're angry. I mean, they're going to their room. The love I have for them, for what I'm doing, hey, I ain't feeling any love back, I can promise you that. But you know why I keep doing it? It's because I love them. Paul's not getting any love back from these people. In fact, he says, the more I love you, the less I'm loved. The more I'm doing, the less I'm getting back. But here's what, I'm going to do it anyway. Because I love you. Here's the thing, we'd do anything that we had to help our children because we love them. You know what, that's the mindset, the motive that we should have toward God's people. Do you know no parent ever quits on their children? It doesn't matter what struggles they're going through, what hardships, no matter what happens, they never quit. You know why? Because they love them. You know why we never quit on one another? Because we love each other. Hey, we all have our struggles, we all have our problems, but you know what? We can't quit on each other. Paul's motive for what he's doing, he's enabled to endure hardships because he loves. That's his motive. And when you love people right, it's hard to quit on them. We used to go on these quiz trips back when we were cleaning the fellowship hall. Man, we'd get back from these quiz trips, we'd be gone all weekend, get back Saturday night, 11, 12 o'clock, and guess what I'd forget to do? Clean the fellowship hall. Dead tired. But here's what would always happen. Everybody would always stay and help me. Brother Brian, your family, Yens would stay. Different people. Everybody would just say, hey, we'll stay. They're just as tired as I am. It's not their responsibility. Why'd they do that? Because they love me. You know why? You know why we sacrifice our time and our energy for one another? It's because we love each other. Hey, if our love is not right toward each other, we're going to quit any opportunity. We're going to look for a reason. Man, I'm tired. Have any of you done this? Man, they're meeting at church, but I'm tired. I've worked all day. Man, I ain't going out there. Let them do it. Walk in my shoes for a while and see what you feel like doing. I've heard all of it. But you know what? When you love people right, you're going to find a way. We'll endure those weariness. We'll endure those hardships to help others, even when they ain't appreciated. You know why we sacrifice our time and our energy to pray for the lost? Because we love them. We meet out here, we pray for an hour every other Friday, every Saturday night. Those that come, do you think there's Saturday nights that we have things we'd like to go do? Man, do you think some Friday nights that our flesh, we would like to go out and eat and just kick back and have nowhere to go? Sure. But you know why we come out here and pray, mate? Because I love your lost loved ones. In fact, it burdens my heart that some people are going to die and go to hell. And so you know what? And here's what it comes down to. I can do what I want to do, or the church is going to meet and pray for those that are lost and on their way to hell. And because of love, you know what I do? I get in my car and I drive out here. You know why we keep continually giving truth to those that hate us and reject it? Because we love them. And here's what we do. We give them truth and we're just hoping that God will take that and one day just open their eyes. We just continue. We just keep. They don't appreciate it. They mock us. They bless for it. But here's why we do it. Because we love them. You know why we give to people knowing full well that they're taking advantage of our generosity, so to speak? Can the church help me? Man, you're a Christian. Could you show me a little Christian love and help me with this? You know why we give and we know we're being taken advantage of many times? We just love sinners. It's our love. Our motive for our service, it has to be rooted and grounded in love. Here's what we see with the Apostle Paul. He was unstoppable. Nothing deterred him. Nothing could not seem to make him quit. And here's what we got to understand. Anything that we set out to do for the cause of Christ is going to be met with opposition. The devil's not going to sit by and just let everything go by. He's going to fight against it. And here's the question I want to ask you this morning. How are you going to respond when that opposition comes? Paul's unstoppable. No matter the suffering, the persecution, no matter what he's faced with, he just kept pressing on. Here's why he's able to do it. Number one, he had the right vision. His eyes were not on the things of this world. He never got over that heavenly vision. It was continually on his before him. He knew that God was going to be honored through his suffering. He knew that some way, if he didn't quit and stayed true and faithful, somehow God would get honor from that. And then he loved others. And here's what I just got to ask this morning. What are your eyes fixed on? I mean, here we are. There's everybody in here. Here's what we'd say. I want to serve God. You're not going to be effective if you don't have a heavenly vision. If you can't get your eyes off the temporary things of this world and this walk of life, you're not going to be effective. You know why? Because you're going to quit. The first time opposition comes, you're going to quit. What's the mindset for suffering? When we endure hardships and trials, do we look at it from the standpoint that, hey, if I'll stay true to this, somehow God will get honored and glorified from it? What's our motive for service? Love is the only thing that's going to keep us in the fight. Love for the Savior, love for the saint, love for the sinner. And it all stems from having the right fellowship and relationship with God. Here's what I want to say this morning, church. Quitting can't be an option. If we quit, God's not honored through our lives. If we quit, people are going to die and go to hell. I mean, if we're not going to tell them, who will? If we quit, how are saints going to mature and live victorious lives? You know what our young people need? They need us older ones to set a godly example for them to follow. Quitting can't be it. Here's what they need to see from our lives that we dig in regards to what comes. We just faithfully serve God. I ask y'all to stand, bow your heads this morning. Here's all I want to ask you. What will it take for you to quit? Here's what we need. We need what Paul had. Maybe this morning you don't have the right vision. Maybe you come and ask God to just bring it back to your mind. Maybe you don't have the right mindset and you need to ask God just to come help you. Maybe you don't love the brethren right. Whatever it may be, if God spoke to your heart, you come and pray this morning.